Hi, good morning, everyone. My name's Monica, and I'll be sharing today's EMP devotional. So I'll just open us up in a time of prayer. Lord, I just thank you so much for your daily grace. And Lord, I know today is going to be a good day because it is a day that you have made. And I thank you for the word that will be spoken today. I pray that you'll just use me to bring a word that is, of season, and also a word that is that will just speak to our hearts today. And I pray for, just for your presence to come, Holy Spirit, come and just really lead each and every one of us into a time of worship. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Okay, so the Bible passage I'll be referring to is the story of the woman at the well. And the Bible reference is John chapter 4, verse 1 to 26. So I'll wait for you to get there. John chapter 4, verse 1 to 26. And I'll start reading. Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus himself was not baptizing but his disciples were, he left Judea and went away again to Galilee. And he had to pass through Samaria. So he came to a city of Samaria called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. And Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, being wearied from his journey, was sitting thus by the well. It was the sixth hour. There came a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone into the city to buy food. Therefore the Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink since I am a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." She said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? You are no greater than our father Jacob, are you, who gave us the well and drank of it himself and his sons and his cattle?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again, and whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst, but the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so I will not be thirsty nor come all the way here to draw." He said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, You have correctly said, "I have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. This you have said truly." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you people say that in Jerusalem, is the place where men ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, an hour is coming when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But an hour is coming, now is, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people, the Father seeks to be his worshippers. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know the Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When that one comes, he will declare all things to us." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." Okay. I guess today I will just be also doing a take on the way. The way is our church's, our goal is to just really study what the way means this year. And I was thinking about it, and our church mission statement is actually a good summary of what it means to be on the way, and how to be on the way. So it's to know him, to be like him, and to make him known. And I wanted to touch on the last part, to make him known. And as we all know, this part means to share the message of Christ and to share why he came, share what he did while he was here and what he continues to do in our lives. And just as Jesus came to be hope in our lives, we are to bring hope to those without any hope. And so I wanted to share on this because this week I had an opportunity to chat with someone I've known for quite a long time. And this person from quite a young age had a questionable lifestyle. Questionable meaning that he was involved in a lot of illegal activities and, you know, gambled for probably the last 10 years. Those things are just to mention a few of the things that he did. And so the Bible would describe his lifestyle as sinful and quite worldly. He did go to church at one point, but has now long turned away. So I was really grateful to have this opportunity to chat with him because I think these moments are quite rare where someone who lives a certain life is able to open up to someone, and we're able to have a good, honest chat. And he was sharing to me, as he was sharing to me, I just recognized how lost and unsettled he was. I also recognized he wanted change, but he was hopeless and really unsure of how to go about it. So it got me thinking about everyone else, or how about all the other people like him? There are so many people in this world that are lost and they're not really sure where they're going. And maybe they're like my friend. They may have walked this road. They've gotten used to this lifestyle, this road of sin, and they don't know how else to live. They don't know any better. Maybe they're powerless to what they're going through, and underneath they're wanting something more. So we as people of God who have experienced unconditional love and hope in Christ, we have the answer, don't we? So aren't we supposed to come and bring that hope to the hopeless? I know I would be lying if I said I did this all the time and I recognize the need or in people all the time. Sometimes I'm caught up with my own busyness. Sometimes I'm lost in my own self-righteousness that I fail to give grace and only see the sin and not the sinner. And sometimes I'm just simply afraid to speak the truth and I don't know what to do or say. Sometimes the situation just seems so hopeless. It's like, geez, what do I say? Where do I start? So I wanted to use this Bible passage to explore how Jesus brought the message of hope to the Samaritan woman at the well. So point number one, Jesus meets us where we're at and not where we're supposed to be. So in verse 7, Jesus says to her, "Will you give me a drink?" Jesus happened to be at the well resting from his long journey, and the Samaritan woman happened to come by. And she just happened to be drawing water at that time. And he struck up a conversation by asking her for water. Jesus is all-knowing, and he knew that what type of life she was living. Yet he didn't say, "Woman, you are living in sin. Repent and turn from your evil ways." No, he really just met her where she was at. He really cared for her, wanted to connect with her. In a way that she could understand. And I think this is how Jesus, there's a parallel with how Jesus came to this earth. You know, God saw us, he loved us, and he saw this world was in need of a savior. Jesus humbled himself, left heaven, came to earth in the form of man, so that man could connect with God. I just believe there's that sort of parallel. And point two, Jesus wasn't afraid to be seen with her. In verse 9, the Samaritan woman was quite surprised and asked, "You are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask for a drink?" So back in those days, the Jews and the Samaritans didn't associate with each other. And it even says it in the Bible. So I think for some reason, they wanted to highlight that. And it was in that time, it was especially women. Men didn't talk to women, especially Jews, especially a Samaritan woman. And the fact that Jesus spoke to a Samaritan woman went against every social norm of that time. And if you look further down in verse 27, it says, "At this point, his disciples came and they were amazed that he had been speaking with a woman, yet no one said, 'What do you seek?' or 'Why do you speak to her?'" No one asked those questions, but I'm sure the disciples were wondering and thinking it, but they just didn't say it. I just think, don't you think at times we're just like the disciples? We see someone that we know and, maybe they're with someone who we think is living this questionable lifestyle, or, you know, maybe we're just like wondering or worried, but we just ask, "Oh, why are they together? Oh, I wonder what they're doing. Or why are they in like, at late at night together or something like that?" And I don't know if it's the same for you guys, but a lot of the times I'm really quick to point out the sin, and but Jesus, he's quick to see the need, and so he doesn't care about the society's expectations, and he's not bound by these norms of the society. Okay, so point three, Jesus offers hope first and not condemnation. So in verse 10 to 14, Jesus talks to her about living water and that she'll never thirst again if she drinks from this living water. And even though she thought this was physical water at first, from the get-go, it was obviously something that struck her interest. It was something that sounded really good to her. For her, she thought, "Oh, this is physical water, so that means, and I'll never thirst again, so that means I would never have to come back and forth to this world to draw water. Daily I won't have to come and, you know, bring my bucket or whatever they used back in the days to draw water from this well." I also think this is another parallel, like, into her life. And so she went back and forth from one thing to the next. She married one man to the next to satisfy her. But she always eventually came away empty. She was not satisfied. And so maybe that's why she didn't bother marrying the man, the sixth man that she was living with, because the five marriages before just didn't satisfy. But we see in verse 17 that Jesus calls out the sin in her life, not to condemn her, but to expose how desperately hopeless she is. He shows her that something is really not right with this picture. And he continues to explain in verse 21 this hope, and says that God is not confined to a place or a people group. That Jesus says God's Spirit is everywhere and available to anyone who believes, and they have access to the Father and able to worship Him in spirit and in truth. So I really, like, as I studied Jesus' life, I just really see how, like, tactful He is and how wise He is and how loving He is to the people who He connects and engages with. And I think this is why He's so successful, but more so because He cared, really cared and loved them. So He came from this place when He approached them. So I was kind of wondering, okay, Jesus shows us how to live and all of this, but why are we often not following this? And the disciples, I was like, oh, we are so like the disciples. Like, we see the sin and not the sinner, or we overlook those who are in need around us. And if you look in the Gospels, the disciples did this a lot. Like, they rebuked people from bringing their children to Jesus, and they muttered when Jesus went to be a guest at Zacchaeus, the tax collector's house. They shushed a blind man who was just yelling, saying, "Jesus, Jesus, have mercy on me." They rebuked him and said, "Just be quiet. Jesus is too busy for you." I don't know if this speaks to you, but this message isn't to really is to make you feel guilty, but it's also to bring hope to you because Jesus was there every time the disciples rebuked, judged, and turned those away in need. But he was still there for them time after time. He still chose to, you know, teach them gently, just, explain things to them. He was very patient with them. He appeared to them and met them where they were at after the crucifixion and after he rose from the dead. He went to where they were. And, God's grace is so sufficient and greater than we can ever imagine. And he's our constant hope and even available to those, to the best of those around us. So in this time, I'd like to invite Sarah to come and lead us in a time of worship. So I'd just like to go back to the story of my friend. And so during the time when he was sharing, I just could recognize two things. I recognized that the way he was living was just a big no-no. Like something just had to change. And, I think it would have been really easy for me to say, hey, man, what are you doing with your life? Snap out of it. Like, you know, this stuff that you're doing, it has to stop. And, but at that present state, I knew that that wasn't what he needed to hear. He just had this sadness and this, like, just so lost. And I took a step of faith and I chose to share about God and how much he cares and loves him. And I was even able to pray for him. And I don't think I've had this opportunity since I was like, 15 or something. But at the end, after we prayed, I could see something on his face had lifted. And I think what I saw was that hope had entered his heart again. So let's close our eyes and spend some time inviting the Holy Spirit to reveal to you someone in your life that really needs this word of hope, this hope that Jesus is their salvation. And perhaps God is speaking to you about a specific person and urging you to be a light in that person's life. So I just encourage you to ask God to fill your heart with love, care, and just the opportunity to bring this hope to those who are hopeless. Okay, let's pray.
justice and grace become my embrace to love you from the inside out.
Your will above all else.
Praying for that person that the Holy Spirit revealed to you, the person that that really needs that hope of the message of who Jesus is and what He's come to do for us. And let's just have that time of prayer. And prayer is so important. And I had been praying for this person for quite a long time, and it was like almost answered prayer for me to speak to this person. So I just encourage you to pray in this time.
Thank you.
let's turn to our community and let's pray for those who are suffering from cancer, going through chemo or looking for a transplant. And don't feel burdened to pray for every single person, but you know, maybe just choose one person and just really intercede on that person's behalf. Those who family members are not saved and but quite ill, so let's just cover them and ask for God's hand of healing to come, but also His salvation to come to their households. Those in our community and those people that we know, people that we brush our elbows with, and let's cover them as they go through these infirmities. Pray for those who are searching for a job opportunity, and let's just pray that they'll be encouraged, and in this time they will not grow weary of waiting, but they will just continue to find their strength in the Lord. They'll wait as they wait for their provision, that they will get to know who God is more and more. Let's pray for them. To our Saturday mission focus. So let's cover Indonesia, Phebe and Kupang, and Singapore. Let's cover the group in Singapore who are from SP, and just pray for God to just really move in Indonesia and Singapore. Point number two, the education ministries. Let's cover Noah's Ark, SP Youth and College Ministry, and pray that our children, our teenagers and our college students will really know who God is, you know, from a young age and all the way to college ministry, that they'll be able to know God personally, and that also that we as a church will demonstrate what it means to walk with God. Thank you. same time, let's cover our SP families and marriages. And as we focus on relationships this year, let's pray for just the love, healing, unity, restoration, and protection over every relationship at SP. Stretches, Belair, McDaddy, and Robinson family. Pray for SP weekend activities, our two Sunday services, the worship team, hospitality ministry, Noah's Ark. There's discipleship courses, GIC and EG. There's outreaches and all the other meetings that are not listed. Let's just cover them and just pray that Holy Spirit will lead and that God will be the center of each and every one of these groups. Anniversary weekend is coming up in about 2 weeks, so it's intercede for that weekend. Let's pray for Pastor Danny and Julie. I don't know if he's sick anymore, but he's been sick for a while, so let's just pray for his health and pray for God to just really speak to him, and that he'll bring a word that really moves our church. And let's pray for all the people who are involved with logistics, and pray for favor in every way that our church will really celebrate this time and recognize God's faithfulness. Lord, we just want to thank you for this time where we can come together and pray and intercede on behalf of those who really need you, Lord God. And I pray for just a word of hope to leave with us today. And God, that our hearts will continue to stir, and that you'll help us see the need in our society, need in our community, and that we'll be able to speak words of hope and truth, Lord. And that your Holy Spirit will just lead us in this, Lord God. And we thank you for your faithfulness in our lives. We thank you that we have such a great church, and that we were able to come here so freely, Lord. I pray that you may continue to build this church, that you may use our hands and feet to do, to partner with you to do this, Lord. We thank you, and I pray for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.